Therefore, let us consider how these two contaminated persons should be punished. The punishment should be apt, for thus benefit can eventually be bestowed upon them. Since they find duality in the existence of Vaikuntha life, they are contaminated and should be removed from this place to the material world, where the living entities have three kinds of enemies. Purport by Gangesh A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada. The reason why pure souls come into existential circumstances of the material world, which is considered to be the criminal department of the Supreme Lord, is stated in the Bhagavad Gita 7th chapter, verse 27. It is stated that as long as a living entity is pure, he is in complete harmony with the desires of the Lord. But as soon as he becomes impure, then he is in disharmony with the desires of the Lord. By contamination, he is forced to transfer to this material world, where the living entities have three enemies, namely desire, anger, and lust. These three enemies force the living entities to continue material existence, and when one is free from them, he is eligible to enter the kingdom of God. One should not therefore be angry in the absence of an opportunity for sense gratification, and one should not be lusty to acquire more than necessary. In this verse, it is clearly stated that the two doormen should be sent to the material world where criminals are allowed to reside. Since the basic principles of criminality are sense gratification, anger, and unnecessary lust, persons conducted by these three enemies of the living entity are never promoted to Vaikuntha Loka. People should learn Bhagavad Gita and accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, as the Lord of everything. They should practice satisfying the senses of the Supreme Lord instead of trying to satisfy their own senses. Training in Krishna consciousness will help one to be promoted to Vaikuntha. End of purport.
Gracias.
Translation again, therefore let us consider how these two contaminated persons should be punished. The punishment should be apt, for thus benefit can eventually be bestowed upon them. Since they find duality in the existence of Vaikuntha life, they are contaminated and should be removed from this place to the material world, where the living entities have three kinds of enemies.
তাই আমরা বিচার করে দেখব এই দুজন পবিত্র ব্যক্তিদের কিভাবে দণ্ড দেওয়া উচিত। এই দণ্ডবিধান উপযুক্ত হওয়া উচিত, যার ফলে পরিণামে উপকার হবে। যেহেতু তারা বৈকুণ্ঠে মেধা বর্ষণ করছে, তাই তারা পরিচিত এবং এদের সেখান থেকে গরজকে স্থানান্তরিত করা উচিত, যেখানে জীবদের তিন প্রকার লক্ষ্য রয়েছে।
Four Kramas are speaking. They've been checked from into Vaikuntha, the palace area of Narayan by the JVJ, and they have become disturbed about this. These three people have the wrong consciousness. Here in Vaikuntha there is no fear. Why are they? What are they fearful of? Therefore they must be imposters. So we should give them a suitable punishment, that they become eventually purified. We'll send them to the place of the impostors. It's called the material world. We will send them to the place of the impostors, which is called the material world. Everyone in the material world thinks himself thinks himself to be the center of all. Everyone in the material world thinks himself to be the center, to be the Lord. Or if they don't think they're the Lord, they would like to be the center. They would like to be the Lord. Thus, in the material world, is the hard struggle for existence to prove that one is different, better than everyone else. So this is a criminal mentality, an imposter mentality, because that is the actual Lord's position. He is actually better than anyone else. So then we're sent here to display that Godhood here, but we're simply frustrated by these three kinds of enemies and other things. And only when we come to the conclusion, we become submissive back to the Lord's program, then we will be eligible once again to enter the Vaikuntha, lick it out of this place. Sri Prabhupada mentions in this, he's quoting the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, the 7th chapter, 27, which says, those Sayana Bharat, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by the dualities arisen from desire and hate. Acharya Prabhupada mentions in the purport that the real constitution of the living entity is that of subordination unto the Supreme Lord. And when he becomes controlled by the illusory entity, then he forgets, he cannot understand that. And then his life, material sojourn continues. But the Maya, the material world is not Maya, it's the Maya only exists in the mind. Not Maya. Maya exists in the mind. It mentions here in the same chapter, that this earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, force, ego, all these altogether, these eight constitute my separate material energies. So it's one of the Krishna's energies. The material the material manifestation is another one of Krishna's energies. So it's Krishna's energy, it acts in a certain way, therefore it's called material energy. And in the following sloka, Krishna says, besides these, O Arjuna, there is another superior energy of mind which comprises of the living entities who are exploiting the resources of the material inferior nature. So these eight things, these resources, earth, water, fire, and air, Krishna says it is inferior nature. The living entity, which is the superior energy, that's us, we're in this material energy trying to exploit the resources. So this is what is called Maya, that the superior energy, the jiva, that's us, the spirit, is trying to exploit this matter, inferior energy, but there's no actual connection there. The connection is only in the mind, so that's where the Maya is. Because we're in illusion, identifying ourselves as this body, and we're trying to enjoy the resources, the senses, and the resources through the senses of this body. So that is what is Maya. The earth, water, fire, and air, these things also exist in the spiritual world. Right, we hear, we read descriptions of how Vaikunth is. We heard descriptions of Vrindavan, how the land is there, the grass, the trees, the rivers, the birds, everything is there. But there it's actually, it's not the inferior energy, it's made of superior energy. In the material world, the Lord enters into this energy as a super soul. He enters into every atom, and therefore it becomes attractive and it becomes apparently animated. In the spiritual world, there's no need for the Lord to enter into it as a super soul, because everything is self-animated. We've read descriptions of how everything in the spiritual world is fully conscious. But here it's not. Everything is inert. It's only due to the soul's presence in the body that the body has life. Otherwise, as soon as the soul leaves the body becomes again material elements. So the fact is, we're in this material world, and this also brings up the question that since they find duality in existence in Vaikuntha life, they're contaminated. Then how can contamination come in this Vaikuntha loka? It's a proverbial question that is asked. How can an impure desire come in Vaikuntha where there's no impure desires? So you have to answer that. Prabhupada says, don't worry about that. The fact is, we're in the material world, facing these enemies, and we try to get out. How you got here is not so important. To get out is important. An answer to that question is how do we come here? The question is, how did those impure thoughts come in your mind when you was in Vaikuntha? How did you entertain those thoughts that came into your mind in Vaikuntha? How did you entertain those thoughts that came in your mind in Vaikuntha that you wanted to somehow or other take the position of the Lord? But of course, we can't answer that question. We cannot answer that question. We can't remember. But the idea is there in Vaikuntha, in the spiritual world, because Krishna is the supreme controller, he is the Lord of everything. The idea is there, and we're part of him. So the idea is around. We're just accepting it for ourselves instead of him. And so as soon as you do that, then that's rasa bus. Just like this Walter is showing is that about? It doesn't belong here. What do you, as soon as this material thing comes in, there's no place for it in the spiritual world. Therefore, you pop down into the material world. There's no place for this material mentality, is my answer. It can't exist in the spiritual world. Somehow you've created it, so therefore you have to leave that place because it's not compatible there. And as a result of that, then we're here. So now again, we reverse that process of becoming, making the Lord the center, understanding the Lord is the controller, the Lord is the enjoyer, and working for His to establish His control and His enjoyment. So when we perfect that mentality, then we can't stay in the material world. Same thing, same principle. We take birth because of karma. Because of the reactions to our previous actions, and what those actions are based on this material world is to try ultimately to put ourselves at the center of everything. That's what we actually want. We want to prove that we can actually can control and can enjoy in this world. So until that desire is given up, then you're forced to take him to come to this conclusion, to give it up. You're forced again to have another try. So once you give it up, then there's no force to bring you back in the material world. There's no need to be in the material world anymore. You don't belong in the material world. So by understanding how we came into this material world, we can just reverse that process, and this is a way to get out of the material world. And so, just to encourage us, we're given the descriptions of the spiritual world. How wonderful! The goal is actually enjoyment. We think if we can control, then we can enjoy nicely. So the goal is actually happiness, peace and happiness. The goal is actually happiness, what we're looking for. Material world is such an endeavor to be peaceful before you can actually start to be happy that it's very frustrating. In Vaikuntha we hear there's no endeavor necessary. There's no work. Whatever you want, you can immediately have. Whatever you desire can immediately be manifested for you. So there's no resistance in fulfilling your desires. And there's unlimited and there's unlimited ways to enjoy that. Far, far greater than we read about in the material worlds, even the heavenly planets. The enjoyment there is millions of times more. We've read everyone has beautiful bodies, youthful, there's no old age, there's no disease, there's no death, there's no extremes of weather, there's no hunger, thirst, lamentation. There's none of these problems don't exist, it's Vaikuntha. All these things that are forcing us to act in the material world, they're absent there. So somebody asked the question, if they're not there, then it must be boring in the spiritual world. What do you do? You can have anything you want, when you want. You can have anything that you want, whenever you want it. And that's true. But here we've also heard that because the Lord is there, and His interaction with everyone has a personal relationship with the Lord, then all this other fantastic sense gratification is can't compare with that. So they're kind of disinterested in that personal sense gratification. Everyone is perfectly satisfied in that relationship with the Lord. And if they want, they can change their relationship. They can change their form, so they can change their relationship. If they want, they can change from Shanta to Dasya. But everyone and everything, because they're all conscious living entities, so satisfied that it doesn't occur to them to do it, only for some variety sometimes. The living entities, they're perfectly satisfied to act as an aeroplane, or act as a tree, or act as a flower, or act as a... They're perfectly satisfied. They're serving Krishna. This is what... For Krishna's pleasure, we're doing this. It's fantastic. Perfection. There's no competition like here to be recognized, to be up front, to be close to the object. That's absent there. Because Krishna reciprocates with everyone and appreciates everyone's service. It's like sometimes you hear the story of Sankirtan devotee, Srila Prabhupada's coming, and everyone's going to meet him, it's all ecstatic, but then the Sankirtan devotee thinks, well, actually Prabhupada prefer me out at the airport distributing his books rather than going there and Haribol, and getting all the ecstasy. He would actually prefer me to stay out and distribute books, so they make that sacrifice. They don't go to the temple when that all the time when Prabhupada's there today. They stay out and they do the service. So this is like a similar attitude of Vaikuntha, that what is satisfying the Lord, this is what we want to do. And their silent service was appreciated by Srila Prabhupada. There was one story of Jayananda, a very great devotee, and he was looking after the other devotees a lot. That was his main concern, making sure everything goes on. Prabhupada was giving a lecture, and then Jayananda was in the kitchen cooking some halva for all the devotees to eat after cooking the breakfast. Everyone else was in the temple, anxious, trying to get a front seat, close as possible. Get the nectar, be recognized. Be noticed. Ask a nice question, be noticed. After Prabhupada finished the class, and he walked out and suddenly stopped and he turned off and he went to the kitchen where Jayananda was. He walked in and closed the door behind him and stayed in there for some time, just alone with Jayananda, having some conversation, and then came out and continued. So he got very extra special. What everyone was striving for up front, Prabhupada went out of his way and gave him that very thing, which everyone else was desiring. So this is spiritual world, spiritual life. at least in the beginning, until we've actually established our relationship with Krishna, I mean by realization, then one has to be simply convinced of this philosophy and act in that way. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says this dharma, Mayapur, is a purely spiritual place. He said, if anyone thinks there's anything material here, he said, the only thing material in the dharma is the consciousness of a person who thinks there's something material here. Anyway, most of the Srimad Bhagavatam, most of the scriptures also, they're dealing with the material world, material energy, how people are struggling. Most of the Bhagavatam is like that, how people are trying to adjust in the material world. and becoming frustrated. Only when they surrender to Krishna they actually become successful. Most of the stories are like that. So this is a very wonderful chapter. It's very rare to find in all of the scriptures in existence in the world, there is a description of the spiritual world. You hardly find that anywhere. This pastime is a leela, of course, but at the same time we're hearing how the Kumaras went inside the Vaikuntha, what they saw. Amazing. There, of course, there are many descriptions of Vrindavan in the 10th canto, but this is actually this Bhumi Vrindavan, which actually a reflection. Bhumi Vrindavan or Ayodhya, the Dwarka, these pastimes that are going on here. They're replicas almost. They're almost replicas, but here is directly the spiritual world. So everything is there in the complete spiritual world, what is here, but everything is directly connected with Krishna. There's no separation of the consciousness of people, of the not, even the incidents there, they don't separate the consciousness from Krishna. Even in the Bhagavatamrita, it mentions how Narayan often leaves. He goes here, he leaves Vaikuntha and he goes somewhere. So then you think, well, the devotees are maybe in distress because he's not there. But as soon as there's some, where is Narayan, there's some distress, immediately, at that moment, he returns. So there's no, you know, the anxiety actually can't exist there. It's in connection with, there may be some fear, the demons are coming to get Krishna, there may be some fear, but that fear is momentarily, and it's directly connected, it's the fear for Krishna's, not fear for myself, fear for Krishna's. So all the emotions are there, but except for envy, all these emotions have their original form. So then, when they're in connection with, when the Krishna is the center, when their emotions are centered on Krishna, that he is acts the center of our life, then then they attain their perfection in that. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Sai Gopinanandi Hari Hari. Okay. For those who have to go to, it's 9 o'clock, for those who want to take breakfast, hot breakfast, they may leave. Yeah? The question is, if someone leaves his body while bathing in the Ganges and he's not remembering Krishna, does he go back to Godhead or not? Well, the rule is, Krishna says, whatever state your consciousness at leaving your body, that state you will attain. That's the rule. But then there's mercy, kripa. But then there's mercy over that, kripa. That is, someone's done a lot of service for Krishna or Krishna's devotee, Krishna is satisfied. Even you don't remember him, he may remember you. The example of, we often call that when Lord Chaitanya showed revealed his form as a Supreme Personality of Godhead to a Muslim tailor, because he was a tailor of his devotee, Srivas Thakur. That was his qualification. He wasn't a devotee of Krishna, he probably wasn't even, he had the opportunity to see him, obviously. But then Lord Chaitanya said, even the pets in your house, even your household animals and the servants, they will also get my mercy because they are serving you, my great devotee. So if you've served a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, or served a devotee of a devotee, or served a devotee of a devotee of a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, then you have to measure how much merciful he wants to be. We practice to become perfect by sadhana, but we're hoping for mercy somehow or other. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Bhagavatam ki jai, Hare Hare Bol.